Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Let's go live to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. Hello, Joe. Over the weekend, President Zelensky was interviewed, and he was asked about the possibility of negotiating with Russia. And he basically said he wouldn't know who to talk to. He wouldn't know who to trust. Is that the feeling over there right now about any possible talks, that no one can foresee those in the immediate future?
Absolutely, Bob, and good afternoon from Lviv. He also said, Zelensky said, he's not even sure if President Putin is still alive. You know, it's so hard to know, you know, are there body doubles for Putin? President Zelensky has gone to the trenches. He's been at the front lines. President Putin has never done that. But of course, if you think about it, just a year ago from now, Russia was promising the world that they had no intentions whatsoever of attacking Ukraine. And so any talk of negotiations from the Russian side would simply be a tactic to stall and to prepare for some new offensive. And that's sort of the atmosphere everyone's kind of feeling now. I mean, it's relatively quiet. There is still intense fighting along the fronts. There's regular shelling of all the, you know, towns and villages in the east and the south. Currently, there are air alarms that just started in the east of the country. And there is a sense of what might happen this week. Last night, I went to a small rock, like a rockabilly concert here in Lviv, and people were dancing and talking about, worrying about what might happen today, Monday, and said, so we have to live on Tuesday. And right before the band introduced the last song, the lead singer cries out, Slava Iisusu Christu, which is the common greeting here, glory to Jesus Christ. The people respond, Slava Navidka, glory to him, as they're dancing in this kind of wild rock concert. And you really do see that always a mixture of emotions. And I saw that in a lot of conversations and experiences this weekend. President Zelensky also attended the funeral of the Minister of Internal Affairs, who was killed in a helicopter crash that also resulted in the death of several kindergartners. And while there was a photograph of him at the funeral, and he was crying. And as I saw that, I think that's the only time there's been a public image of Zelensky, President Zelensky, crying since February 24th. There was a moment when he spoke to Congress, when he mentioned Christmas, where he got emotional, but he's never cried in public, and he did at that funeral. And speaking of tears, over the weekend, I met a couple who had escaped from Mariupol. And they told me how they'd hidden their cellar for 2 weeks last March, thinking at any moment they could die. And then with their young kids, they decided to make a run for it. And it was chaos. It was, no one knew who controlled what parts of the city. They ran through the night to the grandparents' house at the edge of the city, where they were able to get in a car and escape. And so as they're telling me this, I mean, they're very emotional. But then they had come to Lviv. They're currently resettled in Kyiv. And they'd come to Lviv for a weekend to see the Christmas sights, what there is of that, and to dance and to live. And so it is always this complex measure of emotions. And there is they also told me, they said, for 8 years, we built such a lovely city, and it's all gone now. And this, I would say, the underlying current throughout all these emotions, though, is a resolve. And now maybe we start to, we see with this debate over tanks in Germany, we see the Eastern European nations, I think this is kind of a new phase now, standing more and more firmly with Ukraine, saying we need to get better weapons to Ukraine now, because we do not know what Russia is planning next.
And meanwhile, a senior Russian politician warned yesterday that the delivery of more offensive weapons to Ukraine will lead to a global catastrophe. They've been saying things like that since the war began, haven't they?
Exactly. And we look, I mean, Russia has been unable to take the city of Bakhmut since June. You know, I mean, they've been able to destroy it, and they've caused, immense damage. But militarily, it's not, I think people before this war started thought Russia might be a force to reckon with. But clearly, militarily, they're not. And then they do try to hold that nuclear threat over people. But, we have to be sure that all, NATO and all the Western powers, if Russia even tried to step into any territory of some kind of nuclear action, that it would be swift consequences. And I think that we see that Russia probably is in a weakened position. And that's why in this moment, for example, Estonia, the little country of Estonia, has they just announced today they're giving all of their howitzers, 155 howitzers, not saving any for themselves, giving all of them to Ukraine. And the ambassador from Estonia to Kyiv said, in this way, we want to create a precedent so that other countries have no excuse why they cannot provide Ukraine with the necessary weapons to win the war. And so you see this sort of new alliance of Eastern European nations saying, let's just get the good weapons here and put an end to this. And meanwhile, Germany has said that they will not stop other countries from sending German-made tanks to Ukraine.
Are there still foreign volunteers and soldiers coming into the country, Joe?
Yes, it's not like, you know, I mean, at the very beginning of this, back in February and March, Lviv felt like little America. There were so many Americans here. It's not quite like that. For example, while I was at the concert yesterday, I was helping coordinate transportation of foreign volunteers in the East, trying to get to some of the hotspots. For example, there's a young nurse from Utah, and she's on her third tour here in Ukraine. Every time she goes home, she says she feels disconnected back home and sort of empty, and so comes back here to volunteer. And that is a common refrain. It's not as strong as it was in the beginning, but you have, I would say, maybe the strongest people are still here.
I think you have to classify yourself now as a foreign volunteer at this point, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's a humanitarian journalist project. So, and we have, you know, I think probably soon it'll be time for me to start traveling the country again. But it's, we really have seen this, as I've said before, this is, in a way, Ukraine is like a great self-help book. And every day, everyone is struggling in many different ways, whether Ukrainian or foreigners. And the conversations people have to keep going is really remarkable. And I think that's why so many of the foreigners like to be here. They see this as something truly extraordinary and special, seeing the human spirit thrive in the worst of times.
Amazing, and grateful we are to you, Joseph, for bringing your reporting to us here every day. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Peace, I hope.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.